Well, hello, beautifuls, and welcome to the Psychic Therapist Show, where we explore everyday life and answer your questions using both psychology and spirit. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the four key mistakes people make in the pursuit of love, and talking about finding and keeping soulmate relationships, and what it means to connect with real love and how to stay connected. We welcome your calls during the show. You can call toll-free throughout the show at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'm Evie Kane, a lifelong psychic and clinical psychotherapist. If you want to know more about me or my work, you can find me at eviekane.com. That's E-V-I-E. K-A-N-E.com. But enough about me. Today, my very special guests are Scott and Shannon Peck, an authentic husband and wife soulmate couple, master teachers, and love experts. They're co-authors of 5 books on love and healing, including a best-selling book, The Love You Deserve. They're co-founders of the Love Center and have taught about groundbreaking courses on love for many, many years, and they're truly dedicated to helping others find their soulmate and lasting love. And more than anything, they are two of the nicest, most fun, passionate about life and love people that I know. So welcome, Scott and Shannon Peck. Are you with us?
We are, Evie. Thank you so much for those kind words. We feel the same way about you.
Oh, well, thanks so much. It's so great to have you here today. And, you know, I was thinking that we all love a good story. And I know you guys have a fabulous love story on the way to your soulmate relationship. Could you take just a couple of moments and share with us about how you met, more importantly, how you knew each other was your soulmate?
We sure can. And I'm delighted. This is Scotty Peck speaking. I'm delighted that we're with you. You know, Evie, I was married twice before I met Shannon, and each was about 7 years, and each ended in divorce. And I figured, well, I'm just not very good in the love department. I'm talented in other areas, and I thought, I think I'm just going to be single for the rest of my life because I didn't feel very competent. And I did realize one thing, that I would rather be single forever than ever again in an unhappy marriage. So that was kind of my mindset after my second divorce. And I began thinking to myself, well, over the months, you know, I'm a very loving person. Why wouldn't I think of being in a relationship with somebody who is just as loving to me as I am to them? And as that thought grew within me, it actually started growing as a spiritual thought that, well, this is the love I deserve. And I realized, well, yeah, why? I am very loving. And so many of your listeners, and you, Evie, are the most loving person in the world. We all deserve to have people who are as loving to us as we are to them. Seems to be one of the biggest.
That's a really important key. So tell me something, Scott, because I heard when you saw Shannon, when you met her, you knew she was the one, right?
Yeah, that's true. Actually teaching a class and about 200 people on how to be a good, basically, counselor, facilitator, and she was in the back and raised her hand, and instantly my intuition said, you know what? I'm going to marry that woman. We belong together.
Now, Shannon, there you were in the back of the room with your hand up, and were you clueless or were you feeling similar things?
Clueless
clueless in California.
Not a clue. Not for months and months.
Yeah, you shared with me that you weren't really looking to be in a relationship. You'd been consciously, you were had been through a marriage and stuff, right? And
yeah, I actually wanted a relationship, but I wasn't looking to be in love. I didn't want the fantasy land trip. I felt I had, you know, 18 years of a really unhappy marriage. And mm-hmm. I reviewed it often and learned from it, because we're here to learn and grow from everything, and we're each other's teachers. But I figured one of the big mistakes I made was I just chose the wrong person. That's all there is to it. We really didn't belong together. And mm-hmm. so I had no interest in falling in love with anyone. I wanted friendship, and that's something I trusted. I was still coming out of the divorce and emotionally feeling unsettled and very vulnerable and things like that. So I wanted to go in with my eyes wide open, very consciously, get to know someone for who they really are, not who I'm telling myself they are. And mm-hmm. I also did it very prayerfully, too, because I just knew with such a huge decision and experience as this, I needed divine guidance. And I don't okay. make a move without that. Neither one of us do. So that was right. very key for, you know, monitoring the whole thing and seeing what we had. And when I knew, I just knew. In fact, my parents came to town, and Scott came over, and they met him for the first time. And Mother whispered to me, she said, "He seems perfect for you." And I looked at her, and it was like an angel had said it. It was like, oh, my gosh, she's right. I just knew
she's
at that
right.
moment,
if,
she's right.
Yeah,
you, know,
you could finally let it in. So initially, you were in kind of two different places. Scott knew, and you wanted that trying period. Well, you know, this is just segues right into one of those, you know, you sent me this wonderful stuff about those four key mistakes people make. And one of them is getting carried away with this emotional, I'm in love. And so I think it'd be great, Scott, and you too, Shannon, because, you know, I think listeners a lot of times think they're having the soulmate experience of, gee, I know, and that's the one, and then it isn't, and that carried away. How would you discern between that knowing that that's that right person and the being carried away in that emotional I'm in love?
I think that's a very tricky question. It's a wonderful question. It's mm-hmm. tricky because you just need time to go by before you're really going to know. And one of the beautiful things about a soulmate relationship is that it's lasting love. It's not fleeting love. And it's based on an incredibly deep friendship. So one of the things that I realized when I was dating Shannon, even though I thought, well, you know, I was ready to marry her that moment, but she
at the break in the seminar.
Yeah, she wasn't. So, but you know what it taught me? It was interesting because I realized, well, I don't want this. Here was look at it from my point of view. I've already had two marriages where I didn't feel like I was as loved as I was the love I had to give. So I thought to myself, right. you know, if Shannon's not in love with me, like I'm in love with her, then this is not going to be right for me. Mm-hmm. In other words, I would be settling for less than the love I deserve. And so, but I also realized that, you know, it's just so wonderful. We had so much fun dating and and just talking, and we were very open with each other. When I asked Shannon, what are the top 10 things you're looking for in a relationship? She already mentioned, she said, well, the top five are kindness, 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 and kindness. Well, that told me a lot. That, you know, that was a big void in a love relationship for her. So it helped me to understand her and to able to, and since I am a kind person, that was like, that's good news for me because here's the kindness. But I think more than anything, Evie, I had to stand back emotionally and say to myself, I'm willing to let go of Shannon if this isn't the right thing for her and me.
Right. So I think, you know, what I'm hearing you saying, even though I was teasing you about being in two different places, it's two things that are important. One is you can feel like you're in love and know that's the one. And Shan, you've mentioned, and it's, but you have to kind of have a proving time, or really getting to know how that person suits up and shows up every day. Are they treating the waiter as kindly as they treat you? You know, I'm fond of saying to my own clients, you know, you don't even begin to know anybody for like 3 months because everybody's on their best behavior when they're dating, right? They're interviewing for the position.
It's really true.
And it's only after a while of seeing how somebody is consistently over time. So that's, I think, a big difference. And when you're talking about the carried away emotional, I'm in love, Shannon, you're talking about when people might have some other things going on, right?
Yeah. You know, that, the big high. We get a big high. It's an emotional rush when you have chemistry with someone. You're so excited because you've been waiting for this person all your life, and you think, oh, this is the one. But, really, we have to monitor those moments and not gloss over the really important part of, okay, maybe this is the one. Let's slow down. Let's learn and get to know this person. Let them know me. And let's just take our times and have a blast and enjoy each other. And at the end of the story, you know, in 6, 8, 10 months, really, it takes a lot of months, then we'll see what we've got.
But then we'll see what we've got,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we just see what we've got.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's another...
go ahead, Scott.
Another helpful thought is, if it is the one, then it's still going to be the one a month later. And 2 months
That's
later.
That's right. That's right. It's like, and I love hearing you say about enjoy the dating,
yeah.
You know, on the way to a relationship. I find a lot of times people are just wanting to rush into that when they're looking for love.
Well,
go ahead.
There's a pressure, too, that people feel like I've got to commit or maybe I'll lose this person. Well, that's silly, because if this is the one, how could you possibly lose that person?
And
lose
I'll tell you
one.
What.
That's right.
If Scott had put pressure on me, he would have lost me. And there's just no telling how many people out there have been dating or started to date their soulmate and the one perhaps they're intended to be with, and then, you know, too much pressure, too much too early, too soon. And the relationship can't handle that kind of stress, that kind of pressure, that kind of... It's frail in the beginning. So it needs to be treated with a great deal of sensitivity.
That's a wonderful point. And you are listening to the Psychic Therapist Show on Web Talk Radio. My name is Evie Kane. You can reach me at psychictherapist.net. And my special guests today are Scott and Shannon Peck. And we're talking live here about finding and having the right soulmate relationship. The lines are open and you can call in anytime during the show at 888-815-9756. Well, Scott and Shannon, I have a really interesting email question here that kind of is connected to what we've just been talking about. And this woman, Rena, is wanting to know, how do you tell a player from a genuine long-term potential partner? In like, how do you trust after being burnt by dishonest people or people who were players? And how do you really know when someone's trustworthy or not? That's another one of those very deep questions. But what's your take on what you'd like to say about that?
Well, it's not only a deep question, it's the right question. Because the biggest thing that we help people learn how to do, and at our site, www.scottandshannonpeck.com, we have a soulmate quiz, in fact, that focuses on this, that what are the elements that make a soulmate love work? Well, one of them is trustworthiness and honesty, the values that somebody has integrity, because this has to do, Evie, with your own standards. So I would say to this wonderful woman who sent this email, it's important to have a vision of what's possible and hold that vision. And part of that vision is trustworthiness and integrity. And you're not going to know that on day one. It's going to take time for that to unfold. And you get to know somebody, and then every day that unfolds, their integrity becomes more and more clear, or their questionable integrity becomes more and more clear.
Right. That's right. And, you know, I've noticed, too, that sometimes when people feel like they get invested in a relationship, you know, maybe after a month or two, and then something happens that could begin to be a red flag about trustworthiness or integrity or something, that sometimes people find they try and excuse that away.
Yes.
Oh, it's because he or she had a bad day or whatever, you know?
Exactly.
And it's like, no, it's like you're finally getting to see more and more. You know, and it might be also tapping into, there's the one of the second key mistakes that you folks have identified is someone's unaddressed, unhealed emotional wounds from past relationships, lovers, or perhaps even as far back as childhood. Because there's something about that woman's question about also being burnt.
Yeah.
And, so you want to talk about the second, you know, mistake that people make and that, you know, like, and how maybe they can, you know, just a little bit about that, Shannon or Scott?
This is such a rich conversation. I wish the whole world could hear it because the three of us are really nailing it. And it's not often you get in on this kind of conversation. This is the rich nitty-gritty. It really is. So, you know, we have, I'm so glad you brought this up, Evie, because, you know, some people's hearts are just shut down. And perhaps since 3 or, you know, age 6 or whatever happened, and it's not yet cleared. Well, they're not going to experience the love they deserve, and they're not going to be able to give it because there's so much guardedness around that wound. And really, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to whoever will become our mate. To clear out those wounds, just take a look at them and give ourselves empathy and understanding and speak it to someone who's trusted and help ourselves process those. And they're very healable. These things are very healable. It takes a little work, but this is what soulmates do, really. You want to come and bring your whole beautiful self, your open heart to someone who is you're ready to love, they're ready to love you. You want to be available in your heart. And it's really important also, as we were speaking a minute ago, and I liked your progression because the trust issue really is going to be flushed out in time. And if you'll be honest with yourself and keep your eyes open and not decide, you know, the first date who he or she is, and then 6 months later, really, you've got about 60 red flags that you ignored, like I did when I first got married. I ignored all of them.
Well, been there, done that, right?
They were all there.
Yeah.
And really, yeah, I should have checked in a lot more back then.
Right. And then conversely, the person who has hurt, like has been hurt or been betrayed, as you said, who's guarded their heart, and sometimes they haven't even realized that. They're not even really, really conscious of it.
Well,
you know, somebody else wrote in, there's a lot of, there's just a conglomeration of things which kind of tells me that's up for them. It's like, how do you know how people are really like? How do you not sabotage a relationship by frightening them off or putting yourself down? And, I mean, that's like right up in the conscious mind what some of the issues are for that person, you know, about putting themselves down in a relationship. You know, there's some sort of unaddressed or uncleared hurt there.
Yeah, there's nothing that's attractive about that. In many of our workshops,
right.
You know, you don't want to have to support and hold up this person that you're going out on a date and getting to know. You hope that they'll, you know, be whole enough within themselves that they can bring that wholeness to the relationship, and together you can have something really magnificent. And why not go for the magnificent? Why have a mediocre,
exactly.
another mediocre, lukewarm relationship? Who needs it?
That's right. That's right. I've joked with people. No one is stereotyped, but when women particularly have said, "Look, you know, at the end of that last relationship, if you wrote a personal ad about how you were feeling at that last relationship, that tells you a lot." I mean, who in their right mind would say, single or divorced woman is looking for emotionally abusive, unkind, financially irresponsible. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a thing about why.
You know a lot about love, don't you, Evie?
Yes. But I think that's what goes on. And then when I say, so what kind of person are you wanting to date? You know, kindness is very important, and they'll also tell me good sense of humor and this and that, but I tease them. I say, like, well, that's the BAM list, the bare-ass minimum. Why would you ever even want to go out on a date with somebody who wasn't kind? So I think, you know, that's the bare bones. Now what else do we want? And we will be, we'll be back in, I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, you're so absolutely right. That's the bare minimum. And yet it's just so significant to soulmate love and so missing in so many relationships, because abuse can take many forms of just denigrating somebody, saying unkind things to them. Kindness is the opposite of abuse.
Right. That's a lot of what passes in for, that's what people mistake abuse for love a lot. So let's take a moment here with a break from one of our sponsors, and we will be right back. Well, this is Evie Kane. Spring is in the air, and with it comes the promise of new life and love. It's a perfect time to clean out old beliefs and replace them with fresh new ones. Whether you're looking for right relationship or to reignite the flame in your existing relationship, do you know if you're really ready? Have you found yourself reading the books, doing the affirmations, calling in the one, and you're frustrated with the results? Or are you repeating patterns in your relationship and feeling like we'd have a wonderful relationship if it weren't for you? Well, there's ways to change that. After years of successfully working with hundreds of clients, for the first time, I'm making available a questionnaire that will show you clearly your unconscious beliefs about love and relationships, which most times are in direct conflict with what you consciously want to create. And since our conscious mind controls only 20% of our total mind, the unconscious is much more powerful. When you can align your unconscious and conscious minds and they're in alignment, it's like turbocharging your affirmations, and your desired results manifest quickly. If you're interested in receiving that questionnaire, you can just send me an email and put questionnaire in the subject line at evie@psychictherapist.net. As a community service throughout March, I am going to be doing a free teleseminar series where we'll look at this questionnaire and see how it breaks down into four different areas and four key areas in relationships, and demonstrate some ways with energy psychology that you can quickly shift that. So have some fun with it. And once again, you can get it by just sending me an email with questionnaire in the subject line at evie@psychictherapist.net. And we are back live on the Psychic Therapist Show on Web Talk Radio. My name is Evie Kane, and we are with my very special guests, Scott and Shannon Pack, an amazing soulmate couple and just such delightful human beings. And Scott and Shannon, I think it's a great way to segue. What we were talking about is that one of the other key mistakes that you have said that people make is feeling or appearing to be needy, desperate, or dependent, and settling for less and not holding out for the right one. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Again, who would answer that ad, you know? If
Looking for needy,
we really should wear a sign around our necks saying what we're really, you know, doing here. It's a big mistake to look externally for love and for anything, really, because on the soul path, which is where you meet your soul mate, you're really looking within, and you're owning up to the kind of person, the kind of potential you want realized, the kind of growth. You don't miss any of that, and that's so important. So you don't want to give your power away at any moment, especially when it comes to dating and getting to know someone. You don't want to turn your life over to them to fix, nor do they want it. And I'll tell you, if they do want it, then you got a real codependent relationship that I don't think you really
want.
You
got a real red flag, right?
A real one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Shannon Scott, maybe you could give some specifics to people about things that people do or say in dating that come across as needy, desperate, or dependent when they think it's not coming across that way. You know what I mean? Like, what
yeah,
are some
absolutely.
Flags? Sure, go ahead.
Well, one of the things is, you know, women or men, really, on those early dates, you would assume they would be on their best behavior and show their good side, their positiveness, even if they've had a bad day or whatever. But a lot of people start dumping right on and mm-hmm. start sharing their financial problems, their worried to death. I mean, who wants to hear that when you're going out to have a lovely evening, everybody's so busy, and you've taken out a time from your busy life to be with someone, to explore, and to bring your highest and your best. So
right.
You want a good time, first of all. And I'll tell you, Scott and I started dating right on the first date. We sat down and we said, you know what? We were so gutsy. I mean, you look back at it, you think, Scotty, we were so gutsy. We said, I don't want to play any games. Here we are in our mid-40s, and we just couldn't think of anything worse than dating anyway. And we'd met each other, and we thought, well, you know, we're having fun. Let's get to know each other. But you know what? No games. Let's be honest. Let's just be so gutsy, honest, and so transparent. It's ridiculous. And we both thought, this is great. And so, you know, a few months down the road, it was time to really be honest about some things. And we held each other to the fire on that and laughed our silly heads off doing it because, like, mm-hmm. who does that? And it just made
right.
for the most wonderful, honest intimacy in the whole wide world. You talk about a turn on,
right.
there's nothing a bigger turn on than that, really.
You know, and one of right. the things, Evie, that made Shannon so appealing to me was her independence, which is really
yes.
the opposite of neediness and desperation.
Exactly. That's right, because that's where you're confident in yourself and loving in yourself. You're not putting that out. We have a caller on line 2, Mary from the great state of Washington. Mary, are you there?
I am. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Mary, what is your question and how can we help you today?
Well, it's in regards to relationships, and I have to say I've really enjoyed listening, you know, to the topics. And it's, you know, I've got two friends that have come back into my life, and, you know, like one that Shannon had indicated, you know, you don't really want a relationship that's lukewarm, but has a lot of, we have a lot of fun. And then the other one is more of a kinetic connection. So
okay.
I'm just, you know, I'm kind of torn a little bit on which way to go. So I thought, you know, well, I'm going to kind of listen to the show and see if I could get any insight.
And so, you're torn between somebody who's like an old flame and somebody new where there's a kinetic connection, if that's correct?
Yes.
Did I get
yes.
that right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, Scott and Shannon, did you want to jump in there?
Go ahead, Scotty. Okay. Thanks, Mary. I'm so glad you're listening, and it's good to know that we're all sharing this rich information together. It's just, it prevents a lot of mistakes. You know, when we can have these kind of conversations, this is exactly the kind of conversation we all need to be in. So mm-hmm. you've got two friends who are in your life, and one's kind of lukewarm but fun, and the other one is more kinetic connection. That's tricky. It sounds like they both need more time to see, well, what do you have? You don't have to make a decision right now, do you? Do you have to decide between the two of them?
No, just, you know, like, time is very precious. And I just, you know, I'm to a point in my life that, you know, kind of like what Scott was saying, you know, you want to be with people that empower you and support you. And, you know, I just want to make the right decision. So I'm kind of on the fence, you know, like torn on, you know, which one should, what, you know, should I get?
Yeah,
dismiss the other one to, or dismiss both.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of struggling right now with what to do.
Okay.
Well, it's
Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
It's a good struggle, Because the good news is, Mary, you're asking the question before you've decided and thrown one out and married the other one, and maybe that might, in retrospect, have been a mistake. So it's really, there are several questions here that are wonderful opportunities for you. And one is, what do you really want? Because this is where Shannon and I feel so strongly that people don't, they experience love at the level of their vision. So, for example, if you are, if somebody's very, very kind to you and that's important to you, then you're going to experience love. You're going to be with somebody who's kind. Now, but if equality isn't that important to you, then you're probably going to get into a relationship where there's less equality. So, on the other hand, if your vision is, I want somebody who respects me, who loves me, who makes me feel good, who shares openly from the heart, who's kind, treats me with equality, and that's your vision, and you hold that vision, then one of these two men is going to rise into clarity by just giving that an opportunity. But the most important thing is to be looking at what is the love you deserve. I encourage you to take our soulmate quiz, which may help you to realize where you are in relation and where these two men are, and that's at www.scottandshannonpeck.com. It's a free quiz. But, you know, this, we support you, and we trust your heart to just give yourself the love of time and loving yourself, because if one of those guys is the right one, just like I felt I was the right one for Shannon, he'll hold on waiting for you to recognize it.
Okay.
And Mary, I'd also like to interject something, because I've been tuning in psychically to you as Scott and Shannon have been talking. I want to first reinforce what Scott said, because when we describe sitting on a fence, it's an uncomfortable place that we feel like we have to jump off onto one side or the other. So maybe just having a different vision of that would help you, that you're in your own beautiful space. You've attracted these two men, and listening really, truly, deeply on that level, there's no rush, and the prayer would be for clarity. I also pick up that since you were with this first person, you've gone through a lot of growth. We don't know how much he's gone through yet. And this is a time for you to really stand in your power and realize that it isn't, that the lack of clarity is not to not let that go to doubt. I sense that you've really been coming into your own power and a sense of confidence, and to keep going with that. And you may find that it may be one of these people or someone completely different. So thanks so much for the call. And
thank
we have another email question from a woman named Gabriella, who says she's been struggling in her current relationship with her boyfriend. She's been with him on and off for 8 years, and currently I'm taking a break from him. I love him deeply. I know he loves me back. He's always given me more than I've ever given him. He's never doubted me, yet I have. I'm not sure why, but there's always been this deep-down feeling of being with the wrong person. So how do I decide whether being with him is the right decision or not? A little bit of a similar question, but a little bit different than the last one. What do you think, Scott and Shannon?
Interesting question. A couple things. When she says, you know, he's given me a lot more than I've given him, that's a first red flag that goes up for me.
It's not. It's like, it's, wait a minute.
What's wrong with this picture? Because, you know, that comes back to, we deserve, each of us, to be loved. It's not really the question she's asking, but to be in a relationship, you want the love flowing both ways so strongly that that it's just as important for him to feel her love as it is for her to feel his love. So that suggests to me that there really isn't a very deep love affair going on there.
And after all these years, really. You know, also the we really advocate that people go around and find your soulmate tribe and give your heart full of love to every one of them. These are people you have much in common with. You share values. You share your centeredness in spirit. You know, all the things that you have in common, and you go full out and practice your heart
full of love. We go to the gym, we get fit, we train, but what about the heart training? And really, I think it's inconceivable that we can be withholding love at any point in our lives to anyone. I don't care who it is. If we want soulmate love, if we want to hit that status of love at a 10, we got to practice it at a 10 wholeheartedly. Don't withhold. Don't be stingy with your love. And, you know, let go of that inner critic that has to have everything perfect, and it'll never be perfect.
Or think that you, you'll be loving when the right person comes along. Then that means there's going to be a lot of people who encounter you as an unloving person because they weren't the right person.
You know, Scott and I are behaviorists. We love to watch behavior, and we don't own a dog, but if we did, it would be a golden retriever. We have seen so many of this type of dog that is unconditionally loving, gushing from the heart, so generous that you just can't stand still without being moved by that love. And why shouldn't we all be that? Because I'll tell you, you'll never be happier than when you're the one loving. It is the happiest feeling. The endorphins are all firing, and, you know, it's just the hormones are sparkling, and you're bright and beautiful, and you know it, and it instills confidence. Everybody loves to be around you. It's wonderful to go through life just being loving generously.
And that, you know, I say ditto, squared, underlined, exclamation point to that, and it makes me question, Gabriella, why, when you have a deep-down feeling of being with the wrong person, you don't honor it? That's a deep-down feeling.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you take these breaks, and then you go back. And it's like, you know, if you really feel deep down that you're with the wrong person, it's important to set yourself and that person free. Because, see, the loneliest place to be is in a relationship where you feel so alone and not connected. So that would just be another hit on it that I have for you, you know. So we all wish you the best, and both you and he deserve such great love. You know, one thing, Scott and Shannon, that you folks, I love how you use the word soulmate.
Hey, I have to interrupt you and tell you how much I love your answers.
Me too.
And how I'm still laughing. What I'm still laughing at what you said on the break. We'd have a wonderful relationship if it weren't for you.
We know there isn't a married person out there who hasn't had that hot once in a while. They may have kept it on the inside.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to compliment you. So you were just about to say something about how we talk about soulmate love.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when, especially in doing a psychic reading, and you tell somebody they're about to meet their soulmate, and they go out with a pink cloud around their head, and psychics joke, little do they know hell is coming on a Tiffany platter, meaning who better than a soulmate to teach you the lessons of your soul? Because I know that we can have soulmates, but you're talking about that soulmate, that almost the word twin flame, that deeply connected, wonderful relationship that endures through time and deepens and grows. And so I love how you're using that term. And the fourth thing that you have mentioned, I think, is probably key in light of this and what we're talking about. So one of the key mistakes that people make is that they're not active on a soulful journey of their own when they're, quote, looking for their soulmate. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. It's a very unique perspective.
You know, we laugh and we say, if you're not on a soulful journey, but you want to meet your soulmate, like everybody says they want to, it's like applying for a job you haven't qualified for. You want to be qualified to be a soulmate. If you want a soulmate relationship, then qualify yourself and get on a soul path. A soulful journey for your life, which means that you're engaged deeply, engrossed in your life purpose and in an intuition pattern of a metaphysical aspect of why you're living, what your life purpose is, being watchful of energies, coming to understand, depersonalizing, living vertically, intuitively. There's so much on this path that occupies someone who's living the soulful journey like Scott and I are individually. And we were already on our soul path when we met. So,
right.
You know, that mm-hmm. is so much to have in common. It is amazing.
It's like you're doing that inner work that's a broadcast that pulls that person to you.
It really is.
You know, Shannon, for the listeners, I'm wondering if, because you said something about the vertical,
mm-hmm.
could you expand a little bit on that so that they're clear on what you mean? Because that could mean different things to different people.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. When I think of being vertical, I'm a very vertical person where I go straight to source. And I check mm-hmm. in and I ask Source all day long, what do I think now? I'm being open. I'm letting it come through intuitively. It's a constant relation of checking in with my Source, divine Source, the highest power, because I want to live there. I want to be in my greatness every day, not just some days. I'm striving for that every day, even if it looks not so hot some days.
uh-huh.
So my verticality, as a spiritual healer with 30 years experience, I sit there and look at my tree outside the window, and I'm completely vertical. I'm not horizontal and all spread out and scattered. I'm vertically thinking upward to highest source and highest self and tuning in there and allowing the infinite information to flow through me of whatever the guidance is, and I'm often surprised. I'm sure mm-hmm. you are too, Evie. You know, we don't have any preconceived notions. We just let this stuff flow through us, and then we have this knowing of whatever it is that we need to know. And that's what I mean by vertical. Is that clear?
Absolutely clear.
That's the name of my next book. I'm living with a column of vertical light.
That's great. And then the other thing that I love about the two of you that you radiate is that it's when you run that vertical light and that connection to source, you bring it down and through your heart, and then also projecting that horizontally.
Oh, that's beautiful. Exactly. You know, because it's
both, but it's going to the inner and projecting it out, and that's what casts that light to find our soulmate, friends, tribe, as you talk about it. Because I've also found sometimes when people have been hurt in relationships, it was interesting as you were talking, I know a lot of women in particular, they can get so into spirituality, you know, that it's almost, it's like they can shut themselves almost off from the world, and that's not what's meant either.
That's
you know,
true.
that I'm home meditating, I'm reading, I'm too busy for relationship, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like, it's a sound good thing, and it's healing, and sometimes there's not a healing in it. It can be that's just their distraction from healing, because it's really both. It's bringing the light down and through, but it isn't just to recirculate in us, it's to bring it out into the world. That's what I think about it, you know?
Well, I think that's a good thought, and there was something that I've been wanting to share. You and Shannon and I, we all met at a workshop, I think last year, and then we met at another workshop.
Right.
And here's my point. We're soulmates, three of us.
Yeah, the three of us.
And that's why we're having this conversation today that's so full of soul, and why we're resonating together. We're really an example, the three of us, of what a soulmate relationship is. And it's so, as you talk about being horizontal, it's so important to practice soulmate love so that that thinking of the entire world as our lover, so that we're so infused with love, and it may come vertically, we're so infused with that it's just going everywhere horizontally, and we're not discriminating. We're not saying, well, this person isn't quite good enough for me, so I'm not going to be my full loving self. Because I don't think they're my soulmate. So the problem with that is you've just cut yourself off from love. You've not only made yourself less attractive, you've made the whole world less attractive to you, and that you might actually be talking to your soulmate and not know it, and you've decided not to love that person. That'd be pretty silly. So it's so important to love everybody, not because you're trying to get something or find your soulmate, because here's the, you know, if you love unconditionally as a soulmate, imagine the power of that to attract the right person to you.
That's right. That is such a good point. And it's like, because I do think sometimes people go out on a date with a shopping list.
Yeah. No,
he's got three of these qualities. He's missing those four. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm out of here. And, down to I don't like the way his hair's done. And you encourage people, wait a minute. That's an external that, is, yes, you may not like it. That can change over time. But what about the depth of the person? And conversely, I know you're not saying, Scott, that, well, even if you feel like someone's not for you and it's not right thing, you're talking about we can still treat people lovingly and kindly.
Yeah.
We don't have to treat them like, that's it, never see you again or whatever. So it's like to have that openness and loving, kind embodiment of love no matter who we are with.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of, so much of this is an inner work and inner radiation. I'm fond of saying if you don't like how things are going in your love life, whether you're in a relationship or long-term relationship or marriage, or you're finding look at the results you're getting, that tells you a lot about, like some of the things I was saying about the unconscious, but sometimes we may have, as you said, Shannon, put a little wall around our heart and not realized it, that we're kind of guarded and contained and not radiating love. We're radiating more of an intellectual checklist, if that makes any sense.
It 100% makes sense. If our life is being led by judgment and criticism, it's good, it's wise to evaluate. But honestly, if we go into relationships, whether it's with our friends, our family, our lovers to come, and decide, I want to be a loving presence to these people because that mm-hmm. I want to make a difference in the world, and that's a way I can make a difference because I believe in love and I want to stand for love and I don't want to put it off on the shelf and pull it down on special moments. I want to be the loving presence that I would admire and want to be around in anyone else. And so love and judgment don't go hand in hand. If we're judging, we're not loving. The heart is shut. And if we're loving, we're not judging. So we get to choose. Mm. Every moment we're choosing whether we would rather come from our hearts, which I'll tell you is the biggest high on earth. Coming from mm-hmm. the heart, there's just nothing but pure joy. It's ecstasy. I mean, Scott and I'm always telling Scott, here I am in ecstasy again. I have so much bliss and ecstasy coming from the high heart. Because I'd just rather be a loving presence than anything else. So mm-hmm. why not be happy? And I'll tell you, that's not daffy. That's not cloud, your head's in the cloud. That means you can go on a date and you can meet new people and you can love them unconditionally, freely, with your whole heart without any sense that you have to please them, you're obligated to them, or that you owe them, or that, this is going somewhere, or that it might be misconceived as a nod. It just means on your own terms, you get to live your life and you get to go for the gold, which is pure unconditional love from your heart. And there's nothing sweeter or happier than to live in your relationships with a heart full of love. Everyone loves
you, Shannon, you must be psychic because, when you were talking about that, I was just about to ask you, could you give the listeners, they'd be thinking, wow, I want what Shannon's having. How did she get there? What are some ways to do that? And I just loved how you segued into that thing about, for example, when you're on a date.
Yeah.
It's not about, it's just fully being yourself.
Yeah.
And radiating love. I can't tell you how many times some people will tell me that they filled out like one of those questionnaires and they'll ask me, should I say what I really feel and think or maybe what I think a man wants me to hear? And I'm like, oh, my word. And I'm like, yeah, just be yourself because it's not – you want the person who's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is beautiful, Shannon. And Scott and Shannon, I can't thank you enough for being with us today. I mean, we could go on for hours. And I'm sure that our listeners are, really kind of enthralled and wondering more about about, well, how could I get there? I'd like to be where they are, but I'm sort of a ways from there. And I know that, Scott, you have mentioned, and I want to just reiterate it, you can learn all about their work and contact them at scottandshannonpeck.com. You can take that fun soulmate quiz. They have a soulmate journey newsletter. And they have a very exciting class coming up, and would you like to take a moment to talk about that? Because I think it's so helpful for our listeners.
We'd love to. It's going to be a free teleclass called What Exactly is a Soulmate and How to Choose the Right One for You. And it's a lot of fun for us because we're going to pack a lot of information into that free class, and anybody can get in, sign up for that by just going to scottandshannonpeck.com, putting your name in, first name and email, and then you'll get our quiz, information on that, and our newsletter.
Uh-huh. And what's going to follow the free evening so that people can have a sample of us and hear this really important subject is a 7-week teleseries on the whole soulmate journey. It's really seven secrets to finding your soulmate and lasting love. Wow. It's really juicy.
Fantastic. So all they have to do is go and sign up at your at scottandshannonpeck.com, and you'll be on your list, and they'll get all these wonderful goodies that are coming down the pike, both the quiz, your newsletter, and the announcements about your classes. And also that you can find their wonderful books on Amazon.com. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart, Scott and Shannon, for being with us on this beautiful Friday afternoon, and as always, sending you lots and lots of love. And I hope that you will come back at some point in the future.
We'd love to, and we've really loved the quality of your questions and your contributions and your whole show.
You're so rich, and, you know, we all are. As people who have listened to this, you can hear it over and over, and just... Isn't this the most blissful conversation you've had in weeks or months? I mean, it's so positive and blissful and ecstatic. This is where we need to live.
So anybody in doubt, it's possible, and hold the vision.
Yeah.
Thank you, Evie. So much. It's so great to be there. Thank you so very much, both of you. And let me bring this segment to a close with a few thoughts that I wanted to just share with you that... I know that one of the biggest challenges when you've been hurt or betrayed in love is healing that. You have a choice to close down your heart and bury yourself in work or whatever and try and ensure that no one will ever hurt you again. Although, that doesn't always work. Hardly ever. And it comes from a place of fear, and it actually constricts your heart chakra and your physical heart. In Buddhism, there's a saying that the broken heart is the compassionate heart. When yours is broken, you have a choice to heal and expand it even more. The heart's natural state is resilient and expansive. You can choose to learn everything from that heartbreaking experience about learning to love yourself even more. Begin by treating yourself the way you perceive the great love of your life would treat you. Buy yourself flowers, take yourself someplace wonderful, and most important, do the inner work to heal and discover and connect with your inner magnificence. It's not about the mistaken either-or of rejecting love so you won't be hurt or finding love to feel loved. It's really about loving yourself. It's about being love. In your core, you are love. So let yourself embody it and consciously broadcast it to others. Walk through your life daily in a state of love. Focus on others, not just the ones you want to date. Focus on being of service, listening, being present, kind, generous, compassionate. When you consciously radiate your love out, you are so incredibly attractive. When you let your love light shine and project it out, it cannot help but return to you tenfold. And in the meantime, when you are in that in-between time, don't settle. go for the gold. You are the most magnetical force of love in the universe. This is Evie Kane, the psychic therapist, and you can reach me at psychictherapist.net. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we will see you back here for the next show. And until then, have a great, great week, and remember to let your love and light brightly shine.
So I can see you shine.